thank the Lord that His mercies are new every morning. And we need His mercies. The book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 4 we'll take as our text this morning, just that second verse of chapter 4. This is God's command to us as Christians. And in particular, it's the Apostle Paul's command to young Timothy as he is serving God there. And he gives him this command. He speaks about in the latter part of chapter 3 about the work of the Word of God. And he tells him to continue in those things which he's learned. And then in chapter number 4, he gives these commands. He gives, if you would, this charge before God. And we'll do as we always do and stand together for the reading of His Word. And if you'll join with me just on that second verse, we'll read that second verse together. And I'll read all the way down to verse number 8. But we'll just read that second verse together. God's Word says, in verse number 1, He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. Lord, we thank You that we can, Lord, go into this new year, Lord, together here at this place. And what a wonderful way to start this year out, looking to Your Word. And Lord, I pray, Lord, in this season of our lives, Lord, this season of all of human history, Lord, that we would not succumb to the temptation to be drawn away of our own lusts or just hear fables, Lord, but that we would be obedient to Your Word. We would not only hear the preaching of Your Word, but we would be the doers of it as well. Help us in this year to preach Your Word as we should in the way You'd have us to do so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Kind of by way of introduction, talk about some things here in this text. And, you know, we've got to be careful that when we preach the Word, that we do preach the Word, and we don't preach what it doesn't say. But I think sometimes the great omission does speak volumes to us as well. Here in this text, he says, preach the Word. I want to encourage you this morning that I have a plan for 2017. You know what it is? It's to follow God's plan. I have a plan for 2017. It is this. I'm going to do my very best to preach the Word of God. And I want to encourage you in 2017 to commit yourself. It's often the case or the tradition from year to year, folks make resolutions. You know what the number one resolution is every year? Come on, you know it. I'm going to diet. I'm going to lose some weight. Take a couple pounds off. But I want to encourage you this morning, looking at this new year, to just say, you know what, in this season, I'm going to be instant in season and out of season to be obedient to preach the Word. You know what it doesn't say here in the text? It doesn't say preach about the Word. It says preach the Word. And I love preaching about the Word. I think it's a great study to study about the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing to know which translation we use, and it's a wonderful thing to see God preserve His Word from generation to generation. These are wonderful things, but it doesn't say in our preaching to preach about the Word of God necessarily. It tells us to preach the Word, to know what the Word of God says. I had someone challenge me one time when I was talking about what I believe about the Bible, and they said, listen, you need to make sure you study the Bible and what it says just as fervently as you study about the Bible. It's not enough for us just to know the outside cover. And praise God, we take a stand on that. I think it's an important thing, and it's not something to lay aside. It lets us know how we esteem the Word of God and the great high regard we have for it. And it's really a watershed issue in many ways. Do you believe God has given us His Word? Yes. Well, if He has, then let's be obedient to it. Let's preach it. What does it mean to preach the Word? Well, the text doesn't say to preach our own philosophy. Because that's what many times happens when we get up to preach the Word. We talk about what we believe, our own ideas, our own agenda. But God says, you know what we need to do? If we truly believe in the sufficiency of the Word of God, we need to preach the Word of God. Sometimes, and you have heard this, a preacher will get up and he'll read the text. And it's almost like that's like a springboard. Have you ever heard of a springboard text? It's like, I'm going to jump off here, but they never go back to that text. And that's a very dangerous thing. When we are preaching the Word of God, and we're studying the Word of God, we're seeking to understand it and meditate on it. We've gathered ourselves together here to hear from God Himself. And I can't mix in my opinions of it. I need to say, look, what does the Word of God say? What is the message of the Word of God? God's clearly given us a command here. It is to preach His Word. We were studying on Wednesday nights the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And in the book of Nehemiah, we going through chapter 9 and 10 there, precious, precious chapters of Scripture, where Ezra stands up and he reads the Word of God and then he gives the sense of it. That's really what preaching is all about. It's confronting someone with the truth and saying, this means something to your life, and it should make a difference in your life, and I'm going to challenge you with the truth and say, are you being obedient to it? In other words, here's the truth. You have a decision to make about the truth. That's what preaching is. That's the difference between teaching and preaching. You see, the contrast is made here between someone who would preach the Word, and then look what says. They're going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to heed to themselves what? Teachers. Is there anything wrong with teaching? Come on now. You have young people, you have off from school a little while, right? But is there anything wrong with teaching? No, you're going to go back to school next week. You're going to get under the tutelage, hopefully, of someone who knows the material and is able to give it to you. But just absorbing knowledge and just taking knowledge, that's not enough. And that's not obedience to this command here. As a matter of fact, the work of the Word of God, when you know it, God uses it to convict us. In other words, the Holy Spirit guides us to all truth. If you know something, Paul says to Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So yes, there is a sense in which knowing the Word of God gives the groundwork for God to do His work of His Spirit to lead us to it. But just having that knowledge is not salvation. Just knowing the Scriptures is not going to help us to live a Christian life. Just saying, hey, I'm going to read these things. But we must say, no, I have a decision to make about this truth. We must preach what the Word of God says. God's given us a command here, and He says you need to always be ready to preach the Word. It doesn't say preach about ourselves. I love to give my testimony. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I like to talk about what the Lord has done in my life, but that's not only what we're supposed to say. It sometimes gives me a great platform to be able to speak to folks, especially in this area that are former Catholics. Because I say, hey, my testimony, I was christened as a baby, right? My testimony, my family's all Italian heritage, and we're Roman Catholic, that's how we were. But now we're Bible believers. Now we love the Scripture, we study the Scripture. I'm not trusting some bureaucracy, some pope to tell me what to believe. I'm trusting the Word of God, and I go to the Word. I don't just tell my story, hey, I have a great story. I love to talk about it. how the gospel came into my family. I love the story. I love the story of how God brought me here. Miss Renner asked me this morning. She said, "Well, your mom is with the Lord, and your dad is now." My dad moved to Hawaii this week. Matter of fact, if any of you follow him on Facebook, he's making videos at like every state that he crosses into. He makes another video. I'm in Arizona, New Mexico, and he's going all the way through. But listen, I'm not in New Jersey because my mom and my dad are in New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey because I believe God wants me to be here in New Jersey. Matter of fact, I felt a special calling to the Northeast. As a young man, I always talk about the two ladies in our church in Florida who moved down. I believe they lived in New Hampshire. They moved down to Florida, and they would always tell me and my dad that we needed to come back to the Northeast. And we'd say we're fine. And they would say, "No, you need to. We're going to pray that the Lord gives you a burden to go to the Northeast." And I believe it was the prayers of those two ladies that the Lord did. He gave me a burden to be here in the Northeast, to be serving the Lord here in New Jersey. This is what God has called me to do. Let me ask you this. Is your calling any different because you are not a pastor? Is your calling any different because you're not in full-time ministry? I had the opportunity, I mentioned this to some of our folks, the opportunity a few weeks ago to spend some time with a man named John Stansel. And he was adopted. He was abandoned by his parents when he was 14, was adopted by a pastor, and grew up just like I take the van out and pick up children to come to church, give a ride. That's what his church did. And he was in charge of all of the vans and all of the buses. He learned some mechanics. He learned about getting CDL license and getting the special insurance. He learned all those things. And then when his father, pastor, died, and they got a new pastor there at the church, he no longer worked for the church doing those things, and he started a business. And it's called Anchor Van Lines, I think, or Anchor Bus Lines. And he took the knowledge he learned with those buses and those vans, and he began to put it to practice. He is now... I don't think he's a billionaire, but he's a multimillionaire. And the Lord has blessed his business. And he told me, he says, "I believe the Lord blessed my business so that I can make a giving." He says, "A lot of people work to make a living." He says, "I don't work to make a living. I work to make a giving." I've never heard that. I don't know, some cliche thing that he was saying. But he says, I work to make a giving. He says he committed to the Lord several years ago that every day the Lord allowed him to work, he'd give $1,000 to some ministry in some way. And for several years now, he's been able to give. He works about 250 to 260 days a year. So he's been able to give either $250 or $260 towards ministry. Every year he's doing that. And the Lord, he says, "God bless me because I want to make money to be able to support ministry." That's just something God put on his heart. And I tried to talk to him about our building program, right? God did that, right? Well, what is God doing? What is God calling you to do? You say, "Well, I'm not in ministry." No, God has given you a ministry. God has given you a command. And if we are going to be faithful to what God has called us to do, we must look at it that way. What does 2017 hold for you? It holds either obedience or disobedience for you. It holds either you saying, "You know, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to fulfill what God has for me," or you're not. The text says, preach the word. We can discover the real secret of greatness, right? What is the secret of greatness in God's Word? It's obedience to do what God has told us to do. He's charged us, and He said, someday God is going to judge us, the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. He's commanded us, and then He's going to judge us. And He's told us to be preachers of His Word. Say, "Yeah, Pastor Cuzzo, but this is young Timothy, and you know he was in ministry." Well, I want you to see here, this command to this young man was, yes, to be a preacher, but look what God says to him in verse number 15. He says, "To do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Timothy was not an evangelist, but yet he was commanded to do the work of an evangelist. God has command for us to do, and then there's offices, right? And they say, "Well, that's not my job." And that is never an excuse for being disobedient to the Lord. You know what is all of our job as Christians? It's our job to preach the Word. God tells us to preach His Word, and in order to preach His Word and bring people to making a decision about His Word, we have to know His Word, and we have to be willing to be obedient to it. He tells us that preachers need to be preaching the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of things that we can mention, a lot of things we can talk about when we get together as Christians. But I challenged you folks last night. I said as we do our reading this year, and hopefully you've committed to read through the Word of God in a special way. We're going to do it chronologically this year. But I've challenged our folks to speak about the Word of God when we talk to each other. To speak about and say, you know what? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could say, you know, I got preached to this morning by the Word of God, and this is a decision I made based on what I read this morning. Wouldn't it be a wonderful conversation to have all throughout this year? I want to kind of give you license a little bit, all right? Bring up spiritual conversations with one another. Our friendships, our relationships are going to be built on something. What are they going to be built on? A shared love of the New York Giants? Come on, Brother Jeff, come on. A shared love of the weather? A shared love of what? How about a shared love of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God? And in 2017, we say, I'm going to preach the Word of God as I allow it to preach to myself, and I'm going to share what God's Word says to me. You know, we are commanded to preach the Word because we will be judged by the Word. When is it that we're supposed to preach the Word? He says, you be instant in season and out of season. Well, he says there's going to be a time that's going to come when others are not going to stand the preaching of the Word of God. They're not going to know the Word of God. They're not going to want to talk about the Word of God. They're going to want to hear fables, things that are just not true, things that just really don't matter. That's what a fable is, right? Things that, you know, a fable sometimes has a moral to it, right? But he says there are fables out there that have no meaning. Don't be amongst those. Be someone that loves the Word of God. Whether it's in season or out of season, whether it's popular to do it or not, you can be obedient to the Word of God. Young people, let me tell you, when you go back to school next week, there will be people that, and I'm sure they did awful things in celebrating the new year. Young people shared with me some of the tradition. I don't know if you've ever done this. Anyone have the tradition of eating 12 grapes on Christmas Eve? I mean, on New Year's Eve? One for every month you're supposed to eat. I don't know. I've never heard of that tradition. But you know what? There's some people that had some tradition, and it had to do with grapes, but they were rotten. All right, let's put it that way. And they were fermented, and it didn't help them. It messed up their brain and it ruined their liver. Okay, those grapes. Yes. Listen, God's word tells us how to live, and we can stick our finger up in the wind and say, well, that's not real popular right now. We are not going to be able to make decisions in 2017 as a church or as a family or as an individual, as a Christian, based on what is popular in the United States of America. I hope our country has a revival. I hope our mores, our ethics, draw closer to what the Word of God. That's my prayer for our country. But you know what? Whether it does or not, whether it's in season or out of season, God has commanded us to be preachers of His Word. My own habit. And maybe it can be your habit, is that you spend some time each day reading the Word of God. Let me encourage you. If you don't set time for something, it will not be something that you ever do. Let me ask you, when are you going to be a preacher of the Word of God? When are you going to do it? You have a time, hopefully, for sleeping, and you have a place for sleeping, right? Your bed. You have a time for eating, hopefully a few times a day, right? Maybe if you're on a diet, you'll cut back on that. And you have a place for eating, right? In the kitchen, or at the kitchen table, or at the dining room table with your family. Maybe some of you, you know, eat in the car, right? Where's your place for eating? Let me encourage you. What is your place for preaching the Word? When and how and in what way and in what place are you going to be obedient to this command? Whether it's popular or not, in the world's eyes, God has commanded us to do something. We are to expound the Scriptures in our sermons, in our lives, in our conversations. God gives us three vital areas where He's told us we should be preaching His Word. Look at it with me, verse number 2. Preach the Word, be it in season and out of season. Do so, reprove and rebuke and exhort. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Well, what does it mean to reprove? Do you know? Reprove means to convict, to refute, and in some ways to shame, to reprove. And if preached in the Spirit, the Word of God will accomplish the conviction on part of the hearer. There is a reproving that needs to happen sometimes. How many of you say, you know, sometimes I get hard-hearted and I need the Word of God to go ahead and reprove me? That's what it does. The Old Testament describes the Word of God as like an anvil, and it breaks things up sometimes. And we have to submit ourselves to it and say, you know what, I need God's Word to reprove me, to convict me, to refute me, to come right up in my face. Or the Word of God sometimes is a very in-your-face kind of thing. Preaching, when done right, is a very in-your-face kind of thing. Then rebuke, to fault, to chide, to censure. And that too will bring about the Holy Ghost's conviction in the hearer of it. And then here's the ones we like, the exhorting sermons. To exhort means to beg, to entreat, beseech, to encourage, to strengthen. And God uses this method of preaching, and it really blesses us sometimes, really helps us sometimes, really encourages us. Matter of fact, the preaching of the Word does all three of these things. And we want maybe some of it sometimes, we don't want all of it. But you know where the real joy happens? When we've submitted to the Word of God, and we have that exhortation, that encouragement from it, because we've been rebuked by it. And we've been we've been reproved by it. And now God says, I'm going to encourage you with it. There's many people, and you'll see, I don't know what pains are in store in 2017. I know what pains were in 2016. Some of us will experience sickness and pain, family problems, financial hardships, maybe even some depression. Let me tell you what you can expect. You can expect that if you go to the Word of God, you'll get that exhortation that you need. But you know what happens? Sometimes we get down, and instead of doing just the very thing that we need, which is running to the Word of God, we run from it. I'm so thankful. Last night, some of you shared some requests, some very deep-seated things, you know, very difficult things you're going through. But you know what? You know what you did? You came, and we prayed about it together. And that's what Christians should do together. And there's always a temptation when you're hurt to kind of pull off to the side and say, you know, I'm not going to share, I'm not going to talk to anyone else about it. And that's fine. Talk to God about it. But there's some things when they can be shared, there's a help, there's a strengthening, there's an exhortation. Say, what does God's Word say about this? We can line up where we stand with the Word of God. When we are hurting, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. Come together and hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. God rewards. God rewards us when we line our lives up with His Word, with the rebuke that we need. He rewards us with the reproving that we need. He rewards us with the exhortation that we need. Look, what we really need, our greatest need, is not some gimmick or even some poem, but the preaching of the Word of God. It is the balm that will heal our weary souls. So my question, if your ministry for 2017 is going to be measured up by how well you were teaching, you were preaching, you were being rebuked and reproved and exhorted by the Word of God, when is it that you've set aside for that to happen? Look, the preaching of the Word of God, yes, God's Holy Spirit, He preaches to us, and we can do that individually. This is not something we throw out. We do that. But when we come together as Christians, let me encourage you, not only should the pastor be preaching the Word, but all of us, we should be preaching the Word together. I love that we have men here at our church that can preach the Word. I love it when I'm able to have other preachers come in and preach the Word to us. I like to hear preaching myself, not just be the one doing the preaching. We all need that reproving, rebuking, exhorting. Text says we need to preach the Word, and we need to do so with all long-suffering. You know, God knows that if anyone needs the fruit of the Spirit and imparts long-suffering, right? Patience, endurance, consistency, steadfastness, perseverance, it's those that have committed themselves to preach the Word of God. A lot of times, and this is the case, you commit yourself to something. I think, what is it, most of these diets that people decide to go on, about the end of January, February, people quit on it. Most reading plans people decide to do, get a couple months into it and start, what is it, about Leviticus, right? Everybody quits. But God has something for you in His Word, and preaching the Word, the command to do it, is supposed to be done with all long-suffering. That means patience, endurance, steadfastness. I'm not just going to commit to allowing, opening myself up to being exhorted and rebuked and reproved by the Word of God, but I'm going to do so with all long-suffering. I'm going to stick with it. You know, we celebrate sometimes the coming of the new year with fireworks, right? And it's a wonderful thing. But I'll never forget, Dr. Lee Robertson always used to say, he said, fireworks don't last. That was the title of a whole sermon series he did about endurance and faithfulness. Fireworks don't last. It's a wonderful thing. A big boom and the bright light. You ever heard this cliche? It's a flash in the pan. All right? I don't want you in your Christian life to be a flash in the pan. God doesn't want your reading of His Word, your preaching of His Word to be a flash in the pan. He wants us as Christians to make real life change that's going to last all 365 days of this year and into the future. And it's going to happen as we commit to preach His Word with all long suffering. Some people will hear you out, and some will not. And He's admonished us, I believe here, to be gentle in how we do so, to be consistent in how we do so, to be forgiving in how we do so, to be consistent in how we do so. My father-in-law, got to spend some time with him this week. He often speaks about his time as a new Christian there in New Hampshire when he had first gotten saved. And he often tells me of his he had a partner, and they would go out and they would preach the Word together. They would knock on people's doors and they'd be a witness. They'd make visits. They called on one man. He counted them up. It was some 30 times he called on this gentleman. And while they were there this weekend, they were watching some old family videos. They were there in New Hampshire. And there were some pictures in their old living room of some fellowships that they'd had with the church family. And you know what? That gentleman was there. He's still a member of that church. He's a deacon at that church. And it took over 30 times. How many times have you visited someone, tried to preach the gospel to them, had them reject you 30 times? I would have given up. I mean, right? That's what we all... no long suffering. I'm glad my father-in-law didn't. He's one of those kind of tenacious guys in some of those things like that. He's not going to give up on it. We need to have that same tenacity, that same long-suffering when it comes to the way we're preaching. We preach, yes, to rebuke and to refute, but if we do so, right, with all long-suffering, and then we go up to that point where we say, hey, I'm going to leave the door open so I can come back again, and I can say something again, and I can reprove and rebuke again, and I can preach the Word again. This is the long-suffering God wants for us. Above preaching of His Word, above speaking it out, we must do so, not just saying the right thing, but doing so in the right way. It says, preach the Word with all long-suffering, and you can say and there, that's the conjunction, and with all doctrine. We don't need to leave anything out. I think one of the things that's harmed the preaching of the Word more than anything else is not necessarily what is said, but what is not said. From the pulpit, what is not said when we're giving the gospel, what is not said when we're doing the instruction of the Word of God. It's what's not said. Sam asked me last night, he said he read, you ever get those lists? 10 things that preachers don't like to preach about. And Sam read it. Can you guess what the 10 were? Come on now. Money was one of them, right? Well, I already talked about money today.
Hell.
So, huh? Hell, right, is one of them. It basically, what it comes down to, things that are not popular. Things where our society has moved away and accepted these things, but the Bible still says that they're wrong. And so the question is, when we're going to preach with all doctrine, are we going to candy coat things, or are we going to say, look, this is the truth. I believe in many ways, any society that turns its back on God is not only going to receive the judgment of God, but they're going to receive the judgment of their own wrong decisions. Sinful, decadent society is going to fall under the weight of its own sinfulness. And it's going to be very refreshing for someone to say, you know what? The truth is the truth is the truth, and it's never changed. All right? I'll go through some of them. Hell is real. I don't care what modern theologians say. Jesus said that it's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is real, and it's an eternal thing. Drinking alcohol and to get drunk is wrong. That's wrong. I don't care if a society says it's not wrong anymore. It's wrong. Pornography is wrong. It's sinful. I don't care what our society says. Gentlemen, I don't care what the military says. It's still wrong. Using foul and crude language is wrong. God says that we should watch our lips, that every word we speak is going to come under judgment. I don't care what they do in your workplace. I don't care what my grandfather used to talk very crude. I don't care what your family heritage is. That's wrong. God's word, we say all doctrine. Well, doctrine is what we believe about Christ and what it means to live the Christian life. God should have made a change in your heart and life. The gospel, right, the gospel changes everything about who we are. What? I belong to Christ now. My identity is with Him. He died in my place. He shed His blood for my sins. And when He saved my soul, He took all of me, and He's working on all of me all the way through. This is, the gospel must bear precedent in everything. It is the doctrine. The doctrine of the perfect Christ, the spotless Lamb, who died in our place, who rose again, and praise God, He's coming again to judge, as He says, the quick and the dead. Those that are alive at His coming, those that are dead at His coming, everyone's going to get judged. Let me ask you this. What if the judgment was in 2017? What if Christ returns in 2017? Will you be wishing that you would have made some decisions here this first day on how you were going to live before 2018? Why do we say, if He comes, well, I would want this to be in place. I would really want to know some doctrine in this area. Look, the Bible says those that are willing to be obedient to the doctrine will know the doctrine. Doctrine of the blood of Christ, of His atonement. Doctrine of, we believe that is Word. I would say the most important doctrine is this, the doctrine of God. A doctrine of theology. What do we believe to be true about God? Because if our theology is right, everything else kind of falls into place. If we see God as high and holy and lifted up and perfect and sovereign, faithful and true, if we see God in that way, then our anthropology will be right. We'll believe right about ourselves. We're small and we're puny and we have wicked hearts and we're wretched, if you will, and we need God to transform us and to change us. The reason why we don't want to change is because we don't see God high as He is. We don't see ourselves low as we should be. When we believe in high and holy God, we should start this year. What does God want for us in 2017? That's where we start. We start with Him. God is always the beginning place. God is always previous. And if our doctrine is right, especially when it comes to what we believe about God, He's the one who's going to judge. And we charge. Where does He charge and enforce? He says, I give you these commands. Before God, God is the one who's going to judge. God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come. We need to preach true doctrine. Listen, I am not going to be perfect in 2017. You are not going to be perfect in 2017. But you know what? I'd like to be able to do my best. I'd like to major on the Bible and the preaching of the Word in 2017. I'd like the first thing I say every time I get behind the pulpit to say, please take with me the Word of God, right? And let's look at it, let's study it, and not to be, you know, I got a great story for you. I'd like us to say in 2017, you know, I studied hard God's Word. It wasn't easy. I say this to my children all the time, right, Liv? Go ahead and do hard things, right? It's good to do hard things. I want to do what's easiest. No, don't do what's easiest in 2017. Preaching the Word, people are going to fall away. That's what the Scripture passage is about. But you don't have to do that. You can say, I'm going to stick with the Word of God in 2017. I'm going to preach the Word of God in 2017. I'm going to be a part of a congregation that preaches the Word of God. And all of us, from the pastor to all of us, going to preach the Word of God in 2017. I believe that every Christian going to give an account of himself on the judgment seat of Christ for everything that they've said, every sermon that's been preached, every lesson that's been prepared, every presentation to someone of the gospel. I mean, look, soul winning is simply this, presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to someone in the power of the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, and then bringing that person to a place where they're ready to make a decision, yes or no, about the gospel. Yes or no. And you know what? Because someone did that for you, someone did that with you. God had what He needed to convict you, bring you to a place of faith. The question is, will you do that in this year? You know what I'd love to see? I love to see all of us taking those opportunities. You know what we cannot do? We can't make a goal out of something that God does. But you know what we can do? We can make a goal. Let me encourage you, when you make a don't make a resolution for God. Don't make a decision in 2017, something only God can do. But you can make a decision, say, I'm gonna try 365 days. Would be a great commitment. Say, I'm gonna hand out 365 tracts. I'll be 250 days at work. 250 days I'm out and about. Man, I'm gonna try to start 250 spiritual conversations and keep track of it. Because you know what? That's something I can do. Young people, you can say, you know what? I'm not gonna talk back to my parents when they tell me what to do. And when I do, I'm gonna apologize for it. I'm gonna have no open, unforgiven disobedience to my parents in 2017. I'm not going to say you're not going to disobey your parents. You probably will. But you can go to them and in humility apologize every time that you do. You can say, I'm not going to let anything carry over from 2016 with the bitterness or grudging in my heart. I'm going to start with a clean slate with all my relationships. I'm going to treat everyone like as if they hadn't done anything wrong to me. Think about that. As if they hadn't ever wronged me. That's what real forgiveness is about. That's what Christ looks at us. Not that we're not, as if we never sinned, because Christ had never sinned. Look, I understand. It's a very, very clear directive. Very, very clear statement. Preach the word. Do so in season and out of season. Do it to reprove and rebuke and exhort. Do it with all long-suffering. Do it with all doctrine. And don't care what time it is, but I believe the time is going to come when no one else is going to door sound doctrine. But we here at Bible Baptist Church, we say, I'm going to live according to right doctrine. What responsibility has God given you, has God charged you with this year? I want you to leave here with confidence today and know that no matter what God has charged you to do, He's given you all that you need when He's given you His Word. He's given you all that you need when He's guided you by His precious Spirit. He's given you all. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I struggle with. Look, God has given you all that you need in His Word, the guidance of His Spirit, and His very presence with you. He's given you all that you need, every tool that you have, every bit of it. He's given you all that you need when He's given you this church family. But here's the thing. So God's given you all that you need with His Word, but you can neglect it. God's given you all that you need with our church family, but you lay out. God's given you all that you need by His Spirit, but you quench His Spirit. You reject His leadings, His promptings. You see, God's given us all we need, but God wants us to submit ourselves to Him. We've been charged here this morning. Will you take that charge? Why, someday, when we stand before God, He said, there's laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous us, shall give me. God's going to do it personally. At that day, and not to me only, praise the Lord, that's a prophecy there, that there will be others, who just like Timothy, and just like Paul, there will be others who will stand before God, them also that love His appearing. There will be those who look forward to that day when we stand before God. If 2017 is the year the Lord returns, will He find you faithfully preaching His Word with all long-suffering? All doctor. Will He find you faithfully serving Him? Will He find you faithfully looking forward to His appearing? Or will you say, you know what? I hope it's not today. I just need a little more time. Or at the very moments of life God gives us, may we preach the Word. May we be obedient to this charge here from Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. I pray, Lord, that in our homes we would preach the Word. In our workplaces, dear God, we would preach Your Word. Lord, I pray that when we gather together, our relationships would be built on the preaching of Your Word. We would know what it says. We would be obedient to it. Lord, there is no substitute for the preaching of Your Word. I pray that we would be obedient to You. I thank You for what You've done so far in our hearts and lives, for saving us, for bringing us together to this place. I pray we go out of here, Lord, with Your charge. And desire to be obedient to it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.